The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Two of the disciples of Jesus were on their way to a village called Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking together about all that had happened. Now, as they talked this over, Jesus himself came up and walked by their side, but something prevented them from recognizing him. He said to them, "What matters are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped short, their faces downcast. Then one of them, called Cleopas, answered him, "You must be the only person staying in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have been happening there these last few days." "What things?" he asked. "All about Jesus of Nazareth," they answered, "who proved he was a great prophet by the things he said and did in the sight of God and of the whole people, and how our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death and had him crucified. Our own hope had been that he would be the one to set Israel free. And this is not all. 2 whole days have gone by since it all happened, and some women from our group have astounded us. They went to the tomb in the early morning, and when they did not find the body, they came back to tell us that they had seen a vision of angels who declared he was alive. Some of our friends went to the tomb and found everything exactly as the women had reported, but of him they saw nothing." Then he said to them, "You foolish men, so slow to believe the full message of the prophets. Was it not ordained that the Christ should suffer and so enter into his glory? Then, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets, he explained to them the passages throughout the scriptures that were about himself. When they drew near to the village to which they were going, he made as if to go on, but they pressed him to stay with them. 'It's nearly evening,' they said, 'and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. Now, while he was with them at the table, he took the bread and said the blessing. Then he broke it and handed it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he had vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Did not our heart burn within us as he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?' They set out that instant and returned to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 assembled together with their companions, who said to them, 'Yes, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told their story of what had happened on the road and how they had recognized him at the breaking of bread." The Gospel of the Lord. Disappointment, depression, fear for the future, questions of what's been going on, are very real. Always very real in our own lives, and of course in today's world when we can see and hear and know everything that goes on around the world in seconds. You just flick your iPad or whatever you do, the latest gadget. And some or so many events happening can numb the mind, disorienting us. What is going on, we ask. Look about life, we wonder what's going on, what's happening, why is this happening? All those emotions were part of the two disciples, only one of them named Cleopas, on the road back from Jerusalem to Emmaus. The journey they took seemed to be one where they were walking sadly, dejectedly along, journeying in a way from a painful past to a hopeless future. And at times in our lives, that's exactly how we can feel. No doubt lots of times, not maybe lots, but sometimes it is lots of times, so much can be happening, all those questions come to us. What they were doing was walking away from Jerusalem. But Jerusalem, remember, was the site of the temple. It was God's presence. It was the center in the world. And they're walking away from it dejectedly. And they were walking away because after the death and even the resurrection of Jesus, they didn't think that much of the story of the empty tomb to keep them in Jerusalem. They were walking away. Not necessarily this morning, but we look around in our church, because I think a few people will be coming to the 11 to see the new bishop, if not to witness the confirmation. But we look around and we see people that have walked away. I know in the time I've been here, I've buried about 180 or 190 parishioners. Obviously, not all of them were here all the time, but a lot were, when you think back. But then you think, who's missing? Who are the empty seats? Who's walking away? And we do see that, people walking away for whatever reason. And all the main denominations are experiencing the same. And the recent controversy raised by the Prime Minister about his reference to a Christian country drew many comments, as I'm sure you're well aware. And the one from the retired Archbishop of Canterbury, Rome Williams, about a post-Christian society that we're in. But in a way, what's always true of the church is also true of everything or much else in life as well. Because even if we're not of the world, we're caught up in the world is where we are, and all of these things going on. And people can seem lost. And then, in our story, the risen Lord comes with them. But they don't necessarily recognize him. Indeed, it says they were held from not recognizing him. And what does he do? The first thing he does is accompany them on their way. And just as we do when we're walking along, sometimes together, just talking, in a sense, I suppose, even putting the world to rights. And he questions them about what's going on, and he accompanies us on our journey. And when we're going through all the things that we're going through, we might well ask, what is going on? What he is trying to do is reorient them back. In fact, what happened was he turns them almost right round, and physically and spiritually, so that at the end they head back quickly to Jerusalem. It must have been dark, because they said it's nightfall, no street lights, but they head back because, in a sense, the light of Christ with them. And he opens for them what they already knew, but had become disoriented or lost faith in, the scriptures, and particularly in him, the Word of God. Our hope had been that he was the one. Well, we know he is the one. And in the sense, in the dimness of our faith, our prayer needs that constant enlightenment of the sacred word. In our prayer time, we need to have the word of God with us. Through the intricate paths of the daily life, our conscience needs the light of Christ and the light of God's own teaching, guiding us when all these questions are coming within us. In the cold darkness of a secularistic society, as things get harder in every way, we need to experience that burning within us that they had of Jesus, who walks along with us. And so the question is, when we have all these questions in our minds and in our lives, all the things that are happening, going on, whatever's there, do we turn to the scriptures for insight, for wisdom, for direction? Or are we swayed by the media or the latest public opinion poll or what our friends or neighbors or work colleagues think? If Jesus is our companion, then Jesus is the one that shows us. And that's the psalm response today. Show us, Lord, the path of life. Because as Christians, That's who we walk with. We walk with Jesus, who is our friend. He's the one we follow. He's accompanied us on our journey, even if either our eyes don't recognize him or we feel in a way his absence, because we can. The psalmist says, Lord, you're a God who hides yourself. They didn't recognize him, but the Lord is always with us. I'm sure you're very familiar with the story of footprints, you know, that poem about, you know, you walk in alone and then like, no, you're not, says the Lord. When the footprints are only one, it's me that's carrying you. We need to take that in. And you see, that's the whole point, that what this story is, it's actually the Eucharist, it's the Mass, because that's what happens. The people are walking along, the people gather. We hear, we're gathered. And we come in, and I often say to you, when we come in with many things on our hearts and our minds. Some that are only just to us. Some that we share all together because of events in the world. And we bring all that to the Lord, and we're acknowledging, as we do at the start of Mass, our sins, which we call them to mind. And then the Lord opens the Scriptures to us, directing us through. And then we get to know him as he breaks the bread. We take the bread, we take the wine, and he makes himself known to us in the breaking of the bread. And then we're sent out. And he's turned us round in a way, and so that the dismissal at the end is almost like, if you came in like with your heavy burdens all on you, we should be able to leave them here and go out renewed, refreshed, so as it were, speed back to Jerusalem and say, yes, it is true, the Lord is risen, or yes, it is true, the Lord is with us.